And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. It's a beautiful day outside. You ought to go outside and spend as much time outdoors as humanly possible. I mean, only if you want to live. You know, sometimes I have to be the bad guy. And the bad guy has to, you know, tell people things they don't want to hear. But I want you to know something. If I tell you something, I'm not purposely trying to attack you. I'm not trying to harm you at all. But it's just, we want some information. Anyway, I'm not a fan of stevia. And, you know, let me say it this way. I've seen so many people with kidney damage. I can't ever get them well. They never get well if they're using stevia all day long every day. And see, that's not scientific. That's just an observation. So you can say, well, that's just your opinion because I use stevia every day and it doesn't do that. Well, I started looking up little articles here about stevia. Let me see. One of them I thought was disturbing. The point is, this stuff was banned back in 1991 by the Food and Drug Administration. And I'm looking up studies, and I really can't find a lot where they're real precise about what really happens to people. But there's a lot of countries that have banned it. So, anyway, that's about all I'm going to say on that. All right. The phone number here at the station is 903-589-8507. Throughout the week, I get a lot of questions, and I don't always have time to answer the questions. That's why I'm very thankful that I have this Saturday morning time. It's really a blessing, and I'll do everything I can to try to have a discussion with you, and we can have a conversation about what you're dealing with, and we can talk about different strategies. And obviously, I'm a very biased person. I am for things that are necessary to the human body. That's kind of the way that we need to focus on health. What is it that I actually need? And more often than not, if you give the body the very thing that it needs, all of a sudden it starts working better. You have a healthy human being. They have this glow about them. They're strong. They're radiant. Everything's working right from the mind to the kidneys to the liver. Joints are in good working order. They don't have horrific inflammation. Hormonally, they're in good balance, but you got to give the body what it needs. When I say biased, I'm totally against things that the body does not need to restore health. I'm forever asking people, what did your doctor say about this? What is the plan to restore you to good working order? And almost always, it takes 7 seconds to write on a prescription pad which drug they want them to take. I wish it was that easy. I wish all I had to do was just give a person a drug and all of a sudden it would protect them from all diseases, but it doesn't happen that way. All right, first little bit of research here. Now this one is really interesting to me, and I'm going to tell you how I looked up this one just a while ago. I was listening to a podcast, and I think her name is Rhonda Patrick. I like her. She's one sharp cookie. And she was looking at the research of the concentration of omega-3 fatty acids in the cell membranes. And of course, when yours is like at 4%, which means you're not really getting what you need, you're not getting the omega-3 fatty acids from your diet or your supplements if it's at 4%. But when they look at people, say, let's compare with those in Japan that might actually eat a lot of fish. And that's just part of their diet. They like it. Not everybody here in East Texas likes fish. But even if you give somebody that's a heavy cigarette smoker, when you build up their omega-3 fatty acids to about 10%, they live almost just as long as a non-smoker. And that really kind of blows my mind. If you ask me, what are the studies saying about a person that smokes one pack of cigarettes a day? Does that take some time off their lifespan? You know, what they should have lived to be. Like, if a person should live to be 90 years of age, well, if you smoke cigarettes, it's going to take 5 years off your life if you do that for 20 years. I think one survey or study demonstrated that if a person smokes two packs a day, that's probably what my dad smoked, takes about 7 years off your lifespan. So my point is real simple. You can do things that are not essential to health, that actually harm the body. They're not doing any favors. But in the real world, what we need to do is we need to focus on what's going to give you the biggest bang for the buck. And so fish oil is one of those. But I came across this article. I'll just read the abstract to you. It says, people who eat fish a couple of times a week, they have fewer heart attacks than people who never eat fish. I don't know about you, but a couple times a week, how would I translate that? I don't know. Two times a week? Well, that's a pretty good trade, isn't it? You eat fish twice a week, and you have a lot less risk of having a heart attack compared to people that never eat fish, okay? Researchers at the Japanese National Center of Neurology and Psychiatry in Kodiara may have discovered how fish protects the heart and the blood vessels. They believe that eating fish protects the heart muscle from the effects of stress. I'm going, oh, isn't that interesting? So you need to think about that. You mean that eating fish protects your heart from being stressed out? Well, yeah. Okay, here it is right here. When you have stress, that raises the likelihood of coming down with a cardiovascular disease. So eating fish actually reduces your risk of disease. Okay, this is probably because the fatty acids found in fish, one's called EPA, I got a picture of it, you can't see because this is radio, and DHA. If you give people supplements containing fish fatty acids for longer than 12 weeks, their heart rate goes down. That's an interesting point to me. So what would be the resting heart rate of all the heart problems and health problems? Well, it's a resting heart rate above 80 beats a minute. Okay, we can learn something from that. If you look at the long-term studies, if your resting heart rate is above 80 beats a minute, let's just say it's 97. Well, not good. So here's one solution for you if you're paying attention. If you give people supplements containing fatty fish acids, that's a fancy word for fish oil, or I would say cod liver oil, tuna oil, something like that, after 12 weeks, the heart rate goes down. Now, there's an example of giving your body the very thing that it needs to protect the heart. It comes from the journal Circulation. The year is 2005. Can you believe it? That is almost 20 years ago. It said the likelihood of them developing cardiovascular problems as well. It lowers. That's why the Japanese wondered whether these two factors, stress and fish consumption, could cancel out each other's effect on heart muscle. I wonder if the Japanese people have more stress than we do, or the same amount of stress, or if it's comparative. I wonder. I have not been to Japan, but I think they have a very, very high level of standards and expectations to perform, and a very, very strong work ethic. Maybe even sometimes to the point where a person gets overly stressed because of it. Okay, here's a study right here. The researchers did an experiment with 12 students who ate more than 70 grams of fish four times a week, and 13 students who ate less than 70 grams of fish, not more than twice a week. Here's how they tested them. This is almost madness, but it's the way they did it. The subjects had to keep subtracting the number 13, starting from 5,000. So they had to count backwards. So 5,000 minus 13 is 4,987. And then you subtract 13 from that, and you get 4,974, and so on and so forth. It keeps going down. The researchers told them whether their answers were correct or not. At the same time, the subject's heart functioning was monitored, so they put heart monitors on them. The researchers discovered that the high fish diet had no effect on how difficult or unpleasant the subjects found the test. So the amount of experienced mental stress at the same time, so both groups, they had mental stress because of it. Okay, among the group that ate the large amount of fish, you know, the most fish, the systolic blood pressure, you know, that's the pressure during the heartbeat, The average blood pressure and the diastolic blood pressure, they rose very, very little in those that ate fish. It said the heart rate increased less in fish eaters than the other group. Anyway, here's the conclusion right here. The Japanese conclude the diet rich in fish normalizes the heart muscle under conditions of stress. So if we say that the number one cause of heart disease, or the number one cause of disease is heart disease, bingo, eat some fish. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Roy.
Did you turn your radio off?
I just did.
Good, good. Well, good morning to you.
I have a very disturbing problem with my wife that is very unusual, and that is that she cannot gain any weight, and she is an older person. She's a 1932 model.
A 1932 model. I get it. Okay.
Okay. And she eats well, but according to what I can see, anyway. And I would love to get a menu that would help her to gain some weight.
As a person ages, their ability to absorb, digest, and synthesize protein and get it to the muscles goes down. They just become less efficient. So I'm just going to tell you this, and you can take it all with a grain of salt, but she's not eating enough protein. And if you don't eat enough protein, your body will eat you. So you will become weaker. You'll lose your muscle mass. So one thing that we could recommend is that she starts her day with protein. Not oatmeal, not cereal, not toast, not pancakes, not waffles, not yogurt, but protein.
Well, she eats two eggs.
We're going to have to double that. Two is only going to be 13 grams of protein. That would be woefully inadequate. So two eggs every morning, she'll just be wasting away. So
what kind of meat does she need to eat with that then?
Well, she's got a whole bunch of options. Since she's a 1932 model, the easiest protein to process is going to be fish every single time. So that could be everything from cod to mackerel to sardines to salmon to flounder, halibut. I like halibut. It's just very expensive. Tuna. All that stuff is like red snapper, grouper. What else did I miss? But if you start eating fish, that's
catfish.
A way that you can... No, not catfish.
Not catfish?
Yeah, that's the reason why I didn't mention it. It's just a trash fish. I mean, yeah, okay. I'm going to disturb a lot of people, but you said you want her to gain weight, so I might as well give her something that's high quality.
Okay.
If there's no food to eat in the universe and there's a famine that covers the globe, then I'm going to recommend you catch her a catfish and cook it for her.
Well,
does that make sense? If does your wife
catfish has been a pretty good, I thought, pretty good protein. But anyway, go
so
ahead.
So does your wife exercise or work out? Because when you eat plenty of protein and then you do weight training or exercising, you actually get the protein to the muscles. So does she work out?
She doesn't work out, except she works in the yard all the time.
Well, that's not going to do much of anything. I'm so sorry. That's like saying I walk for a mile a day and I wonder why I'm so weak. Walking and working in the yard, it may do a smidgen, but I mean, the proof is in the pudding. If you tell me she's losing muscle, then we have to kind of conclude by implication that what she's doing is not enough. How about I say it that way? So does she take fish oil every day?
She got so many pills still. I really haven't kept up with it.
Okay, so fish oil has been shown that when you exercise, it helps get more protein to the muscles where you can grow muscle. So if I said it this way, the number one predictor of how long a man or a woman is going to walk the earth and how long they're going to live, it's going to be how physically strong they are. So that's muscle mass. That's strength. So even though that she might have been born in 1932, one of the months in that year, she needs to start strength training every day.
March. She was born in March.
So she needs to start strength training, and if that means she'd rather go to a gym and do that or do it at home with dumbbells. There's so many videos on YouTube on how to do that. It just makes it so easy. So if she doesn't do strength training, there's probably not much chance that she's going to, you know, accomplish what you want her to do, which is to maintain her weight and strength. I don't want her to break a hip bone and fall.
I don't either, and she takes a lot of bone. You know, she's been to you, and so she takes a lot of bone.
Well, then let's just make it simple. Just scratch that topic for a second. What she's got to do is she's got to start eating plenty of protein for her. It's probably going to be somewhere between 100 to 120 grams a day. So if two eggs is 13 grams, does that kind of give you like a idea of what she needs to start consuming?
Yes, it does. And it tells me that I was giving her some false information, because I've told her that those two eggs were really giving her a good bump start.
Well, and you're not wrong about that. You are giving her good. Two eggs would be so much better than having a bowl of Lucky Charm cereal in the morning or a donut. So, no, you're on the right track. We're just going to have to double that.
Okay. We're going to figure it out.
All right. I hope that helps.
Thank you.
You're
very
welcome.
Much.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, for example, if a person weighed themselves on the scales, the highest risk for women is going to be when they start to dip below 120 pounds. And you're probably going to call me and say, Dr. Morgan, I've never seen a woman that weighs 120 pounds. I promise you they exist. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
Thanks for your call today. I appreciate that very much.
Thank you. Thank you for what all y'all do, or you do.
Well, you're so sweet. Thank you very much.
Okay. Long story short, because I'm at work, I have to think about it to say it right. Medial meniscus?
Yeah,
if
your
I
knee.
Say that right.
Mm-hmm. You did. You're perfect.
The inside.
You did it. You did it better than I could.
I have to think about it, and I've been practicing. Anyway, I looked up on the internet, like you said, and checking out stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
But I went ahead to the doctor because I have fallen several times. A dog sideswiped me this time, but my knee.
Was the dog's name Cujo?
No, it's BB. But he is BB. Friendly. He's anyway, straight, that I took him. But he's a good boy. Anyway, so I had them take x-rays on both just to see how things were. I've never had it done. I came to you a long time ago, and you checked them out and put me on MSM and some other things, which has been doing really good. And they said there's no bone tissue or muscle abnormalities and stuff like that.
Great.
But because of my insurance, I'm going to have to pay for those x-rays now. And they said next is the MRI. And I thought that'd be good, but not if I'm going to. I have very little pockets that has to come out of. So
No, what's your most important thing that you want to accomplish besides getting an MRI and paying for it?
It is showing better. I am watching it, and I did gain some weight because I can't do as much. The main thing they're saying, rest it. Well, in my job, that's hard to do. But it is getting better, but now it's showing a little bit on the outside of being tender and up on top of the knee. And I'm figuring that I'm just overcompensating or trying to watch out for it too much. But the main thing is how much exercise should I put on? Like you was talking about doing the building muscles.
When did you have the fall and the tear of your meniscus?
It's been about 2 months now.
Okay, so this is going to be pretty. It's getting what?
It's just been showing that it's getting better.
That's good. Your body's able to mend it. That's good. So, do you have access to a stationary bicycle?
I can get one. I can get one of those little foot things.
Okay. Well,
if I have to.
Well, they're what, $40 at the most, or something like that.
Yeah.
I would say that cartilage doesn't have any blood supply whatsoever. And so every time that you pump the pedals, you know, wouldn't you rather have a kayak where you could just pedal it out to the ocean to catch a great white shark? That would be good. No, I'm joking. So if you start riding the bicycle every single day, maybe twice a day for 10 to 15 minutes, I think that's going to go a long way to helping to, I know this is going to sound weird the way I'm going to say it, but it's going to make your joints very lubricated or juicy, which is what you want. You want there to be lots of fluid to lubricate them so they slide and glide and they move perfectly. The other thing that I'm gonna really try to talk you into something here, though.
Okay.
If you have access to either a smartphone or a laptop computer or a computer,
I do.
You're going to go to YouTube and you're going to type in a channel called Knees Over Toes.
Knees Over Toes.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, if you type that in, they have a whole bunch of YouTube short videos to show you how to rehab a torn meniscus, and I'm telling you, they're really good. The other thing that you might look at is the terminology called knee mobility exercises.
Okay.
So, if you start, and I know this is going to be counterproductive because they told you to rest it, I'm telling you at this point the exact opposite. I'm telling you, you need to put some stress on it if you want to stimulate it to heal properly. Now, if you rest it, it may heal, but it may heal with a whole bunch of scar tissue, and it may be rigid and hard and inflexible, and I don't want it to be that way. So start knee mobility exercises right now.
Yes.
So
that's,
I think...
That's what I was thinking, too, and that's why I knew I had to ask you, because it seems like, okay, I need to be doing something with but a little more than, because I walk, I take care of animals and do houses. I'm on my feet all the time. I have to keep going, but I have been,
you know what, you're right about that. You've got to stay in good working order, don't you?
It pays my bills.
so we want to keep you in good working order so you can continue taking care of a cute adorable BB that knocked you down. Did he feel guilty about that? Did he have a look of regret on his face?
No. He kept running. He was so excited to be out and I was doing stuff. But I have been letting my son take care of him, which my son and my mother are both listening. But
So here's what I'm going to recommend to you. When you go into YouTube and you type in knee mobility exercises, or go to that channel on YouTube called Knees Over Toes, I need you to hit that twice a day. You're going to have to. Once a week is not going to do what you want. I mean, it may do something, but if you do this twice a day and you give this maybe about 2 or 3 weeks, you're going to say, oh, my goodness, I can't believe how amazing the design of the body is.
Okay.
So,
I'm so glad I called you.
Now, can I talk you into glucosamine sulfate?
I have it. I just got on it 2 weeks ago, yes.
Wait a second. Did you just say you're ahead of me on this?
Well, I have a lot of your supplements that I take.
Well, good. You be very faithful with that. That's going to go a long way to helping you. I do think that if you eat a little bit extra protein, your body will in turn use that to make repairs that area. And one more point.
I was telling that gentleman, I am already, yes, I'm going to be doing that.
So when a woman, well, it's really men too, but I'll just say woman because you're a woman. when you have an injury, I think your body needs extra magnesium. Almost all the enzymes that get the body back in good repair after you had an injury, they require magnesium. There's a pretty good case right there for having a salmon fillet or having some cod. I had a young man just sent me a text. He talked about sprinkling a fresh amount of high fructose corn syrup and stevia over his cod, which I know. He may be still, you know, a little bit drowsy from waking up. But anyway, so if you will, you want to have your greens with it also. Do you like to cook kale?
I've been taking kale powder.
Let me give you a suggestion.
Come out too good.
when you cook broccoli or kale or greens, you actually make the magnesium more bioavailable. BB, I hear you.
No, actually, no. I'm at work, and it's a kennel in this room. Why haven't you let me out yet?
So they want to go out and take a run.
Yes, I do the magnesium glycate in the morning and the regular magnesium for lunch, and then I do the magnesium.
Oh, man, that sounds so smart.
I think it's called malate or whatever.
Malate, yeah, that's good. Good job.
Is that enough?
Yeah, sound like you're doing great. Just get a little bit extra protein.
Okay, that I definitely need. Okay, I eat meat a lot, but I don't do the eggs and the greens.
Well, fish is going to be hands down the best. If you can get ocean fish, that's where you're going to see the fastest healing.
And, yes. I only do that about once a week, but I'm going to be bumping that up too.
Good job.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very much, and God bless you.
You too. I hope you have a great day. Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye.
I am. Bye.
Oh, I was too busy texting. Anyway, if you want to join me on the radio this morning, there is a phone line officially open at 903-589-8507. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
Good morning. Your voice sounds familiar.
Yes, sir. I've been listening to you for many years, maybe 20 years.
20? Wow.
And yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do I have to start giving you, like, an award with a gold star? I'll give you a plaque.
Okay.
For putting up with me that long. All right.
I'm calling because dementia runs in my family, and I've lost my brother to it and various aunts, uncles, and grandparents.
I'm so sorry about all that.
Yes. I hear that maybe dementia is not family related, but I tend to think that maybe it is. Either way,
no, I'm gonna definitely go with what you're saying. It's not really rocket science. If you have 10 members of your family and 7 of them have dementia, you don't have to be a rocket scientist.
Right. I'm trying to stay ahead of this, and over time, I'm now taking MCT oil, tablespoon every morning. I'm taking Spanish sage. I do 1 drop a day and sometimes 2 drops a day.
Okay, yeah.
Well, that stuff is strong, but...
You ain't kidding, it's strong. I took a drop the other day and I thought, nobody's going to do this.
Well, it makes you cross your eyes just for a moment. And then
yeah, just for 5 to 10 minutes probably, your eyes are crossed and you're questioning.
I take cod liver oil, tablespoon.
Well, you're going to have to, like, probably double or triple that. Double it.
Okay, that's good. I don't mind that. And it used to taste bad. It doesn't taste bad at all now. recently I've started taking hyaluronic acid, 2,000 milligrams, glucosamine, 1,500 milligrams.
Now, that's the one that they have new research on showing it protects your hippocampus, because hippocampus is where you have short-term memory control, or the relays.
Uh-huh. Great. It also has MSM.
Yeah.
This is from Joint Support, I think is the name of it.
No, it sounds great.
Is there anything else that I need to look at?
Well, can I tell you the first thing that popped in my head?
Sure.
If I take too long to say this, just kind of bear with me, but I got to believe this program is supposed to be educational, and we're trying to teach as many people as possible, so I'm kind of using your question as a way to help as many people as I can. Does that make sense?
Sure.
All right. If I told you that the vast majority of all cases of cognitive decline, dementia, Alzheimer's, the vast majority, they have everything to do with what's called microvascular deterioration. And that just means you're not getting enough oxygen and nutrients and blood flow to the brain cells, so they just begin to die or atrophy. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, if I said there's one hormone in the human body that has a great role to play over just about anything that you could bring up related to this, it's called insulin.
Uh-huh.
And so there's a lot of experts that have written many articles concerning either Alzheimer's or dementia, and they have labeled it, and it makes sense to me, they call it type 3 diabetes of the brain.
Huh.
Which I realize, if that's the first time you've heard that, at least you've heard it from me. But one thing that I would suggest to you, this is really so easy to do. There's a website called Own Your Labs. Own means O-W-N.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, I'm making it so simple. But if you went onto that website and you checked the box called Fasting Insulin,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that's like a $14 test. I could be wrong about that. Maybe it's $8.90, something. Anyway, I don't have it right in front of me. But you need to have your fasting insulin levels tested. Any time that your fasting insulin is above the number 5, well, then you're going to have your arteries becoming stiff in the body. It's going to make the blood pressure go up. You're not going to have as good a blood flow. Your heart will not work as efficiently. You're going to have so much inflammation. It's going to cause your cholesterol to go up. So when you have a little bit too much insulin, or the other topic is called insulin resistance, that's a little bit different, but it's very similar. So too much insulin, it does everything that you do not want. It causes the dementia because it controls all the factors from, it causes heart disease, it causes diabetes, it leads to horrific inflammation, it makes cancer grow. It keeps your body in disrepair, you're just inflamed all the time. So you could easily, or you could go to your doctor, that's fine by me, ask him or her to do a fasting, or actually, better yet, don't tell anybody I said this, but just call the nurse practitioner, because usually nurse practitioners are so agreeable. They're so easy to get along with. I just love them.
I agree.
I'm serious. I talk to nurses every single day, either in person or on the phone. They are the most agreeable person. Now, if I went to the top, you know, doctor in the area, he's not going to listen to anything I say because he already knows everything. But anyway, enough of that.
Yeah.
So ask for what's called fasting insulin.
Test fasting insulin.
Yes, exactly. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I think that'll give you some idea, kind of in a simple way, of what the condition is of your body and your hormonal health. This is telling me how metabolically fit you are. It's not the only one, but it's a good one.
We have an annual visit with the doctor and tests. What other tests should I ask for? Just thinking of general health.
Oh, no, that's a great question. Man, you're speaking my love language here. So let's talk about those just for a second.
Okay.
What if you, and can you write these things down as I go over them?
You bet.
All right. So I've already mentioned fasting insulin. I think that's the gold standard. Another one that would be really, really easy for them to do is called hemoglobin A1C.
Uh-huh. You're going to have to wait on this hemoglobin.
H-E-M-O, globin, G-L-O-B-I-N. And then just do a capital A, a number 1, and a slash, and a C. Hemoglobin A1C.
Okay.
That one is going to tell me how sugared up your blood cells are. So I'm going to go off rail for just 1 second, but I'm going to come right back, okay?
Okay.
If I wanted to totally wreck a human being, I know how to do it. Give him caramel. Or if you want to call it caramel, I'm not going to argue.
Uh-huh.
Because you know what it is? It's just burnt sugar. That's all it is. If I want to make the blood flow super sticky and wreck the brain and the heart, I could give a person caramel. So if you walk into my office with a handful of milk duds, I am going to slap them out of your hand, buddy. So you can do a hemoglobin A1C, a fasting insulin. Another one that I think is really, really good to look at would be one called uric acid.
Okay.
So these, it's just, and so like, for example, if somebody had a scan or an ultrasound of their kidneys, and the report comes back from the radiologist that they have 3 cysts in one kidney and 4 cysts in another kidney, well, that's uric acid. But guess what controls uric acid? Insulin does, when there's too much of it. So everything is a strategy to try to get you back into really, really good metabolic health. So you could request also a simple test called a lipid panel that measures total cholesterol, triglycerides, HDL, LDL. Another one that you may add on is called V as in victory, LDL. Uh-huh. That stands for very low density lipoprotein. When that number goes above 21, usually you got more plaque forming in your arteries at a faster rate than what you want. And when your HDL starts hitting about 60 to 65, I'll just say 60, that's when you start removing plaque buildup from the arteries. So if somebody had a test and their arteries are clogged up, well, that's insulin that does all that. What do you think tells you, what do you think chemically tells your liver to make cholesterol? It's insulin.
Mm-hmm.
What tells your body to make more triglycerides? Insulin. We could just go round and round. So a lipid panel, you could do one called a cell blood count with a differential. Usually they abbreviate it CBC with differential. Okay. I like that one because there's one test in there that's called RDW. That's part of it. That's like a $8 test right there. RDW, they're showing it's even more accurate for measuring inflammation in the body and predicting a heart attack or a brain problem than even C-reactive protein is.
Okay.
So when RDW goes above 11.5, every time it goes up, you're at greater risk of having a heart problem or a nervous cardiovascular circulatory, like a stroke. Sorry, I'm not trying to be negative.
Uh-huh.
So that's easy. Then the other gold standard is called a comprehensive metabolic panel or profile.
Okay, I think I get that anyway.
Another one that might be really, really, well, I have 2 more I'm thinking of. Sorry, I keep doing the add-on. Sorry about that, Wayne. But there you can have, I still think it would be valuable to have your magnesium levels tested. And the reason why I'm saying that is when they measure men and their magnesium levels are above, man, I just read that the other day. What did it say? Okay, Wayne, I'm almost positive that they gave the number, I can't remember. But anyway, here's where I know the punchline. If they could just slightly raise your magnesium levels by just a point, then what it did is it reduced your risk of cancer by 20% every time that went up. And I'm going, oh my goodness, this is like so easy. So this article was saying basically magnesium is one of the most critical minerals to keep your body in good working order. And in this particular study, it showed that when you did better with magnesium, you just about become bulletproof when it comes to cancer. It was just like amazing, 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 amazing. And so you can have another test called C-reactive protein. That's just a capital letter C. Sometimes they call it CRP. That stands for C-reactive protein. But that's a pretty good marker.
CMP and CPP. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm throwing a lot at you. Sorry about that. Actually, I'm not sorry at all. I'm trying to help. So
you bet.
These are things that you could look at. But just remember, if your uric acid is above 5 and your fasting insulin is above 5, then you got problems.
Okay.
So I'm not saying that to be mean, but I'd rather give you full disclosure, because if I tell you there's a problem, you can say, okay, now what am I going to do to help counter that?
You bet. You bet.
Okay.
Looking at the CNP from last year, gosh, it's got so many.
Well, just look at the ones that are either low or high.
The only one that's high is TBI.
TBILI
2.
Shows high at 2.2.
Okay, well, what that means is that there's a lot of things that can mean, but that's total bilirubin. Bilirubin is kind of like a reddish-brown pigment that's found in all the red blood cells. And so if your red blood cells are disintegrating and breaking apart too fast, they're just breaking down too fast, that's where bilirubin goes up. Now, in all fairness, that can also point toward maybe a weakness or an issue in the liver and the gallbladder. So I'm kind of playing it from two different angles here. But if bilirubin is elevated, I'd probably have you look at your GFR, that stands for glomerular filtration rate. Most likely there's going to be some kidney damage.
Okay.
It'll usually have a little bitty E in front of it, like a small lowercase e, then the capital GFR.
Don't see it.
Would it be in
CBC? Is it in CBC?
No, it's in the one called the Comprehensive Metabolic Panel. That's the one you were looking at just then.
Yeah.
Okay.
CMP. I don't see anything with a small E in front of it.
Well, do you see the letters G, F, R?
GLR, but no GLU.
That's for glucose. What is that? If it's above 90, you got a problem.
93.
Then you got a problem.
GLU.
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen, don't listen to what they're telling you. They're going to look at that and they're going to say, you're great. Don't listen to that garbage. Take action.
Yeah, okay.
What else can we look at?
Anyway, I'm sorry. I can't really, I don't know. If I can't see it, I mean, what am I going to tell you? I could look at it real quick if I had like a picture of it, but that's, you know, different story. Okay, well, you got your work cut out for you.
Okay, well, we
get them done.
We don't eat sugar. You've gotten us away from that, and that used to be hard. It's not hard anymore.
Do you remember how I recommended that your wife buy a shock collar for a Doberman at Tractor Supply, and every time you tried to reach for it, we cured you. No, I'm just joking.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks a bunch for your phone call, buddy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Y'all have a good day, folks. Good to hear from you.
Okay,
bye-bye. All right, plenty of time left in the program. The phone number here is 903-589-8507. Okay, what exciting stuff can you and I learn together today?
Morgan?
Yes, sir.
I have been very, very delinquent in calling you back to thank you for what you did for me about two and a half years ago.
Oh, no, this is good timing. I like it.
I had horrible, horrible pain in both the back leaders of my neck going up in my head with these terrible, terrible stabbing headaches, and then after the stabbing, it'd go into a low, dull thing that would just stay there, you know.
Oh, no. I hate that.
And you recommended the capsaicin. Is that how you... I don't know.
No, that's good.
The hot pepper stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I wiped it off after 30 minutes the first time. I said, I'm not doing this stuff. But then...
Now I know why you didn't call me for 2.5 years.
After trying 3 other things that didn't do a thing to phase it whatsoever, well, I went back to the capsaicin and the lemon juice, and kept those up, and I ended up just completely putting the lemon juice on, and it all finally got rid of it all. It took
a long time. How about that? That is great.
But my lady, good lady friend of mine from church, had the same thing afterwards, seems like. And she went for the shots and all that.
Called
my saying so nonsense and stuff. Anyway, I kept telling her, put.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I gave her what I had left of the Capucin. And,
you're just trying to help her like you were helped. That's good.
Telling her to keep on with the lemon juice, the fresh lemon juice. Keep on with it. Well, anyway, after here about 2.5 years later, she's starting to have the same thing in her right, the nerve on the right hand side,
mm-hmm.
and the pain, headaches in the head. And all. She told me yesterday that last night she could not sleep.
Yeah, that's misery. That's pure misery.
Do you have any idea what causes this kind of thing?
Well, go back and kind of flesh it out for me. Describe what she's dealing with. The more details I have, the easier it is for me to kind of think it through.
Well, she has muscle cramps in her legs. She's had them all her life.
If I had nothing else to work with but just that, I would give her a nutritional formula called Easy Mag. Okay, so when a woman is low in magnesium, her potential for having nerve inflammation and muscle spasms and muscle pain just goes through the roof. See, it's so much easier for me to say, what actually does her body really, really need? Instead of giving her a pain-relieving formula, I'd probably give her something like a vegetable base of magnesium and lots of cod liver oil if she wants to become pain-free. It is amazing what the body can do to heal itself when you just give it a chance.
Cod liver oil and what was the other you said?
Well, the form of magnesium I like is made of buckwheat. It's actually organic buckwheat, which means I don't spray it with chemicals. But buckwheat extract is rich in magnesium, kind of like I told the woman earlier. If she could cook some broccoli or cook some kale, that's how you get magnesium from food, is by eating green stuff that's been cooked.
Okay.
You may have to hold her at gunpoint, though, to make her do that.
Now, the kale, I don't know. She's on blood thinner, you know, so.
Well, and see, that's the other problem. See, if you give her buckwheat, buckwheat is absolutely the greatest source of a substance called rutin. So one of the ways that a medical doctor is going to test to see how thick or how thin the blood is, he'll either do one called an INR or he'll do a prothrombin time. You ever heard of that test?
I probably have. I used to be on blood thinner.
But you're not now?
I was on it 18 months, and I told the doctor, I said, I want to get off this as soon as I possibly can.
They probably put a stent in your heart, didn't they?
No, they did. I had a blood clot in my leg that went to my
chest. Well, this is the same topic. Rutin dissolves clots, but rutin doesn't do anything to make the blood either thinner or thicker if somebody's taking a medication. So I've already looked at the medical studies on that. There's not any chance of risk of harming her if she's taking a blood thinner that interferes with the vitamin K that you might normally get from like a green leafy vegetable, like kale, for example. So I think that's safe. But the thing of it is, what I'm telling her is going to actually improve her blood flow. And so if you look at studies on magnesium, they demonstrate that when you have optimal magnesium, you actually have more oxygen-rich blood flowing through your arteries. Can I give you some trivia real quick?
Yes.
Your lady friend has 300,000 miles of arteries and veins and capillaries. 300,000. That's a lot of pipes in the body. So she needs those things if she wants the cramps to go away. But I've seen chronic pain go away just with cod liver oil only. It's amazing. I'm not trying to over promote it like as a superfood. I'm just giving you encouraging information. So if you want to make the neck hurt, just eat a bunch of sugar.
Right. Well, I tried to get her off Stevia. I've tried and tried and tried.
Oh, yeah. I hate Stevia. I can't ever get a person well if they're taking a lot of Stevia. It's literally impossible.
Oh, I appreciate it. She said it feels, the reason I mentioned the pain, the muscle pains in her leg, she said that this feels like a muscle spasm.
It is. That's because it is a muscle spasm. If she were to take about 6 tablets of Easy Mag and cod liver oil, she wouldn't even have the cramps tonight. I mean, probably.
6 tablets of Easy Mag.
Yeah. It's made of buckwheat. That's
about
right.
About how much cod liver oil?
Well, if you get the gel caps, it's probably going to take about 6 a day to get the job done. If she would just eat essential foods like meat and vegetables, and if she wants something sweet, if she ate berries and fruit, these problems would probably disappear and go away. I mean, maybe. I don't really know her situation at all, but if somebody's eating a bag of Doritos for supper and they're eating donuts for breakfast and drinking a Red Bull for lunch, there's no way to get them well. All that stuff just breeds horrible inflammation in the body. So if she wants to get well, let's give her a chance.
I've tried to get her off Dr. Pepper also.
You know, did I tell you that those collars they make for Dobermans, they sell at PetSmart? I think they're almost the same size as a human neck, in case you want to push that button once or twice. I'm joking about that. You know that, don't you?
Right.
Yeah, if you want to have, that's what I'm saying. I can't ever, over the last 35 years, I've seen so many people with horrific neck pain saying, Dr. Morgan, nobody can help me. And I find out they're drinking Dr. Peppers every day. It's nuts. Oh, I understand they taste good, but man, they're just destroying her. All the Dr. Pepper's doing is just stripping all the magnesium out of her body. I mean, you don't even have to believe me. Go to your computer right now and type in, does drinking Dr. Pepper's rip the magnesium from your bones and your joints and make you hurt? And you're going to find out I'm right about that. I mean, drinking a Dr. Pepper, you're just stripping all the life force out of your body. It's really as simple as that.
Her son tends to drink a lot of it, too, and he's got stone problems now.
Well, he's doing it to himself. This is completely 100% on him. It's his fault. Remember what the Bible says? My people are destroyed for a lack of what? Knowledge.
Knowledge.
You know what? The other day I was in the book of Timothy. I can't remember now if it was first or second, but it said, like a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, what does it say? Study to show thyself approved. So how do you and I know what God wants us to do? We got to study the Bible. We got to read it. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we have to study the principles of health also, but it's incompatible to become pain-free if you're drinking Dr. Pepper. Why don't you just tell her, I'm the bad guy. Just you be the good guy. You be the good cop, and let me be the bad cop. And say, I just can't believe how arrogant Dr. Morgan is demanding that you get well and heal so you feel great.
She calls, I try to read my notes to her sometimes, and she calls you a quack, you know.
Well, that's because I am. Only a quack would recommend that you don't drink Dr. Pepper all day long.
Anyway, when is this session put on the
I don't know.
Computer.
I know who does know. Wendy here at the station, she knows.
Well, anyway, within probably 3 days, maybe.
Yeah,
four.
Yeah. Well, something like that. But you know, I'm rooting for your lady friend. I'm for her.
I'm gonna play it for her.
Yeah, there you go. And I want to tell her that I love her very much. But she's got to come to reality here. Drinking Dr. Peppers is incompatible with health. You can't say you want to be healthy and then drink Dr. Peppers all day long. It's like I told a person the other day. There was a study that showed that if a woman who's pregnant drinks a diet Dr. Pepper, then she's going to have a child that has autism. Now, what mama wants to have a baby that has autism? What's the answer to that question? Well, nobody. But that's exactly what's happening. Just like when you drink diet soft drinks, 300 to 400% increase in developing Alzheimer's and dementia. So
okay, she doesn't drink, her son, they don't drink, they drink the straight Dr. Pepper. They never drink the diet. I have hounded them for years about the aspartame and all that sort of thing. So
well, if you want to hurt, get your fasting insulin levels above 5. You're going to hurt. Get your uric acid levels above 5. So maybe that's what we should do, is send her to her medical doctor and let the doctor just run a fasting insulin, a C-reactive protein, and uric acid. And when they all come back high, the doctor can be the genius and say, you know, ma'am, it appears you might be slightly inflamed. I bet you're hurting somewhere, aren't you? And she can say yes. And then she has to say, well, doctor, what should I do? What do you recommend? Oh, there's nothing you can do. Just we're gonna give you more shots. And there's a drug called morphine. It's made from opium. What do drugs do to fix anything? I understand drugs are there to make you comfortable when you're in severe pain. But if you want the neck to stop hurting, I can just tell you from my experience, you can't do it if a person's eating a lot of sugar.
Right.
Anyway, I hope this is simple and straightforward.
Okay. Thank you.
Appreciate I love it. You. I'm your friend.
You even called me back. I left a message because I didn't understand the capsaicin or however you pronounce it.
Yeah, capsaicin.
You called me back, and yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead, let you say it so you say it right.
Well, if you say capsaicin, I'm okay with that. People will figure it out. Okay. It's just the comes from cayenne peppers.
Right. Well, she started, I got her a tube of that yesterday, and she started that yesterday evening.
Could you do me one favor?
Yes, if I can.
Could you ask her to give her definition of a witch doctor or a quack? I want to know what that is.
Okay.
Or I've been called anybody, voodoo doctor.
I think it's anybody that doesn't have MD behind their name.
Oh, well, you know, she's got a good point there. Okay, you got me there. She got me. I'm a quack.
Anyway.
All right, hey, thanks for your phone call.
I'm rooting for y'all.
And I'm really rooting for her to feel better. You betcha, buddy.
I appreciate you so much. Bye.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for your call. Bye-bye. Talk about a sweet man. You know what? Could you have a better friend than him? Somebody that literally has got your best interest. They've got your back. I don't know about y'all, but all right. If your friends are the type of friends that won't tell you, you know, something that you need to be told, then is that really a friend? See, I have some friends that I know for a fact they will pull me aside and they'll tell me something if it's in my best interest. And that's really what we're supposed to do. Isn't that really what Christians are supposed to do? It is. We are supposed to bear one another's burdens. And so when someone's burdened, and this might be a loose definition, but their neck hurts all the time, and they're miserable, and they can't sleep. Well, folks, that's a form of misery that's just unlike any other. When you cannot sleep, and you wake up exhausted, it's hard to be really hopeful for the very next day. Probably leads to a fair amount of just mental and physical exhaustion and maybe even depression. So, yes, we want to gently encourage anyone to be a good steward and take good care of yourselves. Now, there's a lot of people that can be good stewards, but not everybody can be a good steward. That's an inside joke anyway. I've enjoyed being with you. You're listening to Health Essentials. Lord willing, I will see you again soon. Thank you.